up this morning before the sun. Grab my gear to get some fishing done. Jump in my pickup, give her a crank. I gotta talk with Fishing Frank. Fishing Frank is the guy who'll know where the redfish and the tarpon go. From your boat or from the bank, the man to see is Fishing Frank. 'Cause he's got the tackle and the know-how too, and more than willing to share with you. The guys with the most fish in their tanks have surely been to Fishing Frank's. You gotta go to Fishing Frank's. The one who knows is Fishing Frank.
Yes, Bobby.
Hey.
Good song, Bobby.
Yeah,
Bobby.
Very good.
Yeah, you guys hadn't heard that yet.
No, no.
Apparently not. Apparently not.
Yeah, Bobby wrote that song for us.
Cool.
And yeah, little ego boost on my part.
Right?
It's actually pretty cool.
Just a little one.
Yeah, but I mean, the good thing is it's about all of us.
Well, yeah, that's cool.
You know, and so... we did a fishing report with Robert earlier. We got the big tournament coming up this weekend.
Yeah.
The last for the foreseeable future. Well, as I say, I never say never, but
yeah,
the last one I can foresee happening. Sharks going this actually Saturday.
Yeah.
Today's Saturday, Thursday, yep. So it's in a couple days from now. 3:30 in the afternoon is sign out start.
Right after this big full moon that hasn't happened in like 50 years or something.
Really? What's going on with the full moon?
Friday the 13th, supposed to be the first full moon and Friday the 13th together in about 50 years, I think, something like around
really?
That time.
I heard that.
A full moon and Friday the 13th.
That's at the same time. Yeah.
I thought there was something different about the full moon.
No.
Just the Friday the 13th.
Just
aspect.
That coincide. That's all.
Okay. Well, that's cool. It's still cool. Yeah. I mean,
that'll be the lunar high. It'll be tomorrow night.
Yes.
The lunar tidal high. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we got a tidal high, a lunar high, and a moon high, and all of it's happening this weekend. So, but Saturday ought to be equally as bright and spectacular.
Oh, yeah. It'll be pretty bright out.
Except for the part of the harbor that's getting the tropical storm, tornadoes, water spouts.
That would be the severe weather challenge part of the Fish and Frank's Shark Tournament.
It's amazing how it evolved into that, but it really did. It
seems to be. Yeah.
Always seem to coincide with the beginning of our thunderstorm period for summer.
Yeah, so anyway, so what have you guys been hearing? What's going on out in the harbor?
Well, actually, everybody has been catching quite a few sharks. Whether they know exactly what species they are is kind of hard to determine sometimes.
Yeah. I got a guy who was really mad at me because he posted a picture on Facebook. I put nice nurse shark, and he was like, that's a spinner. And I was like, okay, sorry, my mistake. You know, I just saw the picture in first glance, but...
Clearly the Corvette eyes and the mouth underneath the...
Well, it was the big tail. Big floppy tail, which spinners do have big floppy tails.
Yeah, they do.
Too. So, you know, I was sorry about that.
Yeah. Well, there's also two kinds of thresher sharks, you know.
Yeah, and there's
one of them is one of them's protected, so...
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I think for this tournament to be safe, it's going to be a bull shark bringing it in.
Yeah, I would think that anybody that brought anything different in... You know, if somebody wanted to bring the token, because there have been a few years in the past, we pay out four places, correct? Mm-hmm. And there have been a couple times in the past where we've had three stingrays entered and plenty of stingrays in the parking lot. They might only been as big as this ashtray, but...
I've been telling people to do is their first stingray keep to enter the tournament, and then when you catch your second one, use the smaller of the two for bait.
Yeah. But, so if I get that bonnethead shark, though, the night of the tournament... We have had a couple tournaments where we didn't bring in.
But it's 54 inches have on this thing to bring it in.
Okay.
We have a 54-inch minimum on it.
All right.
So, anyway,
not like the stingray, a small one could win then.
Well, let's go to best bets. Where do you think your best...
That's going to be a bull shark.
Where would you go?
You know, we have caught some really nice sharks around the Eljo Bean entrance, you know, the marker 14, where it's 20...
Marker
8, it's 14 feet deep there.
Yep.
That has been a pretty good place for, over the years, for cobia and shark, actually. So, I think that would be a pretty good place, a pretty good bet to go, especially if you didn't want to get too far into the harbor.
Yeah, because you never know where the weather's going to be. One part of the harbor is going to be clear, calm, with stars and beautiful... And another part is going to be...
Phase 4, look out.
It's going to be bad. So, you know, it's always a nice bet up there in the Mayaca. It's very protected.
Yeah.
Where's your best bet on shark, Mike?
That would still be my pick there too, but if you get a little closer down to the intercoastal, down out in front of Bull Bay and in that area where the hole is out there,
gotcha.
that might be a good area in there too.
I think we had a winner out of Bull Bay one year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My best pick was actually right out in front of Bull Bay, about 6 feet of water out in front of Bull Bay. That was my pick.
Yeah. That is a good
for
place.
For the shark.
Yeah, that is a good place. Devilfish Key around that area.
Right.
A lot of guides would go there and catch pinfish and bigger fish baits, about 4 to 6 foot of water, and that would be a pretty good place to go and set up shop too.
Yeah. Right. I like a little bit deeper water for that bigger sharks. I want to get them when they're going in and coming out. So yeah.
And that's something to think
about.
They
do go up in that shallows, but I like to get them on the way in and out. So yeah. I usually get out about 6 feet of water.
Yeah.
But stingrays is going to be a big thing this year.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of big rays been caught recently. Yeah. A lot of people talking about all the rays. Yeah.
Just got to watch that gaff in them. Got to try to gaff them right around the face, right around the mouth.
Well, the easiest thing to do is just go right through the gills.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the research guys are going to be here again one more time doing a last research thing, even though technically they don't need it anymore, but they're going to get that one last shot in.
Sure.
And they do a lot of stuff about the stingrays, because stingrays are
not known about them that much.
And one of the big things is they're very overpopulated, and they're wondering about it. They're going to ask you, were they, you know, pregnant? Were they still having babies? Because the sharks are pretty much done having babies, but the stingrays are still going on. So it's not uncommon to get, you know, pregnant stingray, but we have an excessive amount of stingrays. It's hurting other populations, because usually the sharks take care of the stingray population, but with dwindling shark populations, you have massive extra.
What's doing the stingrays,
A lot of extra stingray.
Yeah. I hadn't heard that. Is that something just the last, this year?
No. This has been ongoing for quite a while.
Oh.
As the shark populations have gone down worldwide, stingray populations going up. Well, stingrays like to eat things like scallops and other things. And so...
things that can't run away.
Yeah.
Right.
So with the decreasing sharks means increasing stingray, which means decreasing scallops, and there's, you know, it's a whole balance thing that goes on out there.
Absolutely.
And you know, when I've ever fished the tournament, our group never really targeted the stingrays. We never went out, but there are a few people in our tournament that do just target them.
And I'm going to call best bet on stingray, I think the same area out there, but I'm going to go over towards Johnson Shoals. Get on the outside of Johnson Shoals for that big stingray. I'd probably be in front of Bull Bay till around 10 o'clock, 10:30. Then I'm going to switch over to Johnson Shoals if I'm going to do stingrays, or I'm going to head up to the canal mouse for the catfish.
Right. I agree.
So where's your big stingray thing? Where would you be?
Given what we've just said about them, you know, and what they like to eat and that, I don't know. I think maybe I would sit outside of Turtle Bay. You know, they've got the scallop fields over there where they've got them over there, the beds. So there must be more of a selection of that out there.
Right.
So I'm going to say outside of Turtle Bay, the entrance.
Right in the cut.
Yeah, in that cut right there where a lot of people usually go with their bigger boats in there.
Right.
I think maybe that would be a good area for them there.
All right, Mike.
Catfish, though, that probably
the
canal.
Well, hang on. We'll get to that. All right. Stingray.
Yeah.
What are you thinking, stingray?
Well, I'm thinking on the backside of Cay Acosta, right on the backside of the pass there.
I've always seen a lot of manta rays.
You and Robert,
there.
You're thinking alike on that. Robert was picking that spot, too.
Yeah. I've always seen a lot of manta rays jump over there.
Well, yeah, there's always something moving around there. Yeah.
Well, right up, Robert's talking Pelican Cove, right inside of Cay Acosta, you know, where all the boats anchor up there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He was talking the mouth of both of those, and that about where you're talking?
Oh, I was thinking the pass itself right behind the corner of Cay Acosta.
Okay,
there.
So you're talking just inside of Boca Grande Pass on the inside corner.
Right.
That'd be a good spot.
Yeah, that's a nice place.
And so now stingrays is usually hotly contested. Remember, we do them wingtip to wingtip.
Right.
And we take pencil marks on each side. You move the stingray and we measure across it. So you do not have to leave the tail or the stinger on.
Right.
But you want to try and gaff them through the gills or in the head. Because if you're gaffing them back through the wings and stuff, it kind of looks like you gigged them.
Or snagged them.
Or whatever. So we want you to actually hook and line these fish.
Yeah. We had a guy call in yesterday wanting to know if we had needed to gut the stingrays.
No.
We'll say no on that.
Yeah.
Stingray's whole condition, you're all good about
that. Yeah, that's what I told. Well, Austin took a call, and I said, well, shouldn't make any difference because they're
measuring. You do not have to ice them. Right. There's no reason to ice the stingrays unless you're going to fillet them.
Sure.
But if you're not going to ice them, there's no requirements about icing for the stingrays.
Just the shark and the catfish.
The shark has to be iced. The catfish do not. You can do whatever you want to with the catfish or the stingrays. Shark is the only one that needs to be iced. Yeah. So I guess that brings us around to catfish.
You know, we're catching them everywhere we go. When we went out this past week, caught probably four catfish. We went up inside Rock Creek. Did the first last week when we went out, we went up in there, got a few nice redfish. The next day when we went up, Cindy got a few nice redfish, and I got the catfish. We just kind of switch out that way, it seems like, one trip.
What were you using for bait?
Shrimp and crabs, you know.
So how was the catfish on the crabs?
The catfish on the crab couldn't eat at all. Now, I did net a little bit of the croakers at the Port Charlotte Beach Complex before we left, and the catfish were very willing biters on those. But when we went out the first week last week on Monday, it was overcast, and the water was probably 5 degrees cooler, and the day itself was probably 15 degrees cooler. Now, when we went out on the Wednesday and the following week, it was hot. Nothing but catfish. You know, during the middle of the day, you know.
Right,
I mean,
the middle of the day is tough on redfish.
Yeah, I mean.
You got to get up in the shade, way back underneath the shade, if it's possible.
The thing that I'm noticing is that we can't get in the shade, but the fish can get in the shade and actually are very well protected. The mangroves, if you're looking at the bush lines at a medium tide, their water still goes back up underneath those mangroves some 15 feet. And I believe those redfish are just sitting up in there among the mangrove roots, chilling out, eating a few crabs. Because the ones we caught on Monday, 24-inch, 6.8 pounds.
Wow, nice fish.
That's a football. I thought he was oversized. Cindy was saying no. We got him up, and he was just a big football. The 27-inch one, let him go, but he was over 8 pounds.
Wow.
I mean, just on the boga grip. So, I mean, yeah. But that's just humongously fat fish on there, so.
Yeah, but were you pitching way under the trees?
Nope, we were going around a bend, and there was quite a bit of shadow on that Monday. Like I said, it was overcast, and the day was probably 10 or 15 degrees cooler than this past week. And all they had to do was, one was 10 feet from the boat, and, you know, you always hear about be quiet, casting, you know, we weren't that quiet, and he wasn't that far from the boat, you know.
Yeah.
But it was a deeper water channel, and it had shade. It had what he was looking for, you know, as far as where to be.
Right.
But there's a lot of places, though, that got a lot of 15-foot reveal that I know it's 3-4 foot underneath there, even though I'm sitting in a foot and a half of water. But there's no way you can access it. You know, you have to.
Right.
You have to do a little work on those, I think.
So anyway, about sail cat. Where would you go for a sail cat?
I'm thinking back up in Rock Creek, Hog Island, any of those northern around the canal mouths to Lewis Creek, Manchester Waterway, any of those areas.
Yeah,
that, be able to produce a pretty good
catfish. That area, those back canals up there off of Midway and O'Hara back in there, that would probably be a really good spot for. Nice size catfish.
Yeah, I mean,
you're talking over 4 pounds gutted.
It's got to be. It's got to be probably more like 6 pounds. I mean, last year, what was the winner last year?
It was 5 pounds, over 5 pounds gutted.
Yeah,
that's big catfish.
I mean, that's almost 6-7 pounds with the guts in them.
I would say easy. Yeah.
So I mean, you're looking at something you want to be 7-8 pounds on the boga grips before you go cleaning them out.
Now, I'm always going to say, keep and call your catfish.
I know. It always comes down to that hundredths of an ounce between
third
and fourth.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking, you know, little tiny, tiny differences make a world. You slice the belly open, you take out the insides and the white bag, and then you're done.
That silvery lining that's in there.
You don't have to go any further than that. Don't take the gills out.
Yep.
You're not keeping it for, you know.
Some people will.
If you keep them for on ice, the meat stays good. It stays very edible. It's a very... what fish, out of all fish in Charlotte Harbor, has the cleanest meat? Least amount of bacteria, anything in it?
I don't know offhand for sure 100%, but I mean, over all the fish that I've caught, my best fish that I like to eat are the snook and the sheephead. So, I mean, I know the snook is very... Yeah, sail cats.
Well, the slime on a fish is like the epidermal layer on a human.
Right, so the more
What fish has the most slime?
Yeah.
Catfish.
And they don't have any scales. I mean, you know, it's a...
Yeah, they actually have the cleanest meat of fish in the harbor, as far as I'm led to understand right now. I would have never guessed that. That would never have been my guess.
No, it wouldn't have been my guess either. No. Yeah, I would have guessed snook first and then maybe sheephead, just because the meat is very white.
Oh, it's gorgeous meat, but I was just really surprised to...
Yeah.
I read some studies on different fish, and catfish mm-hmm. came out with incredibly clean meat. I mean, percentage yeah. points higher than other ones. Yeah. So, anyway, so you're talking about the mouths of the creeks mm-hmm. over there, the canals up off O'Hara, yep. Midway,
Lewis, Manchester, all those areas all right. that dump out into the...
Now, Mike, if you were going to take your pick of any place to go find a big catfish, you got from the Skyway Bridge to basically Fort Myers to choose from, where would your place be?
Well, that's a tough one there. It seems how they follow me wherever I go.
So, yeah.
Minnesota Beach, then.
All you got to do is walk out on the beach, yeah, and they'll show up, right?
Yeah, pretty much so. I was trying to think of where I heard. There were some people catching catfish underneath Lashley Park Bridge, but they didn't say which one variety they were. So, sure. You know, that's kind of, I didn't hear any varieties said one way or the other.
Yeah, the problem with a hardhead is even a world record hardhead probably would not place in the tournament. Right. That's why yeah. it's kind of a sail cat tournament, right. because they get literally four times the size of a hardhead.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. Don't be bringing those big blue freshwater cats in.
No freshwater cats, strictly saltwater tournament.
Boy, you got me. I was thinking, I hate to say this, but in PGI there used to be some big cats in some of them holes,
yeah.
too.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I called PGI definitely going to get a winner out of PGI. Yep. Probably the Rim Canal, but Bass Inlet, Colony Point. Colony Point's got some yeah. monster cats in it. Yeah. So I'm with you. I was calling PGI a best bet for as far as top four spots.
Well, we know past winners, definitely PGI is one of the spots that one of the guys used to catch his big snook at, and mm-hmm. that's where the big catfish, usually they kind of yeah. hang in the same areas, you know.
Yeah, big fish tend to be around big mm-hmm. fish. Yeah.
And catfish are very predatory fish. I mean, when I had mine in the tanks and that freshwater anyway, I had a bass and I had the catfish in there. When I throw the feeder fish in, you know, the bass would be, you know, boom, get a fish, boom, get a couple fish. The catfish, all his whiskers would go out. He would herd 50 fish up into the corner, take one suck, and take them all in.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, he's going to have to go pretty quick.
Yeah. You know? They are amazingly efficient feeding.
No doubt.
I mean, once those whiskers come out and they get in the mode. Yeah. I mean, watch a sail cat coming, you're reeling in a bait and they're just swiping
attacking
at it, coming
it.
Back yeah. across the surface.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if sail cat's got a foot bigger, I would never go in the water.
Yeah, yeah. It would be pretty, pretty
that
interesting
would be scary.
Experience. Yeah.
I mean, if they get up 3 foot long, they would definitely be able to take a foot. You know what I mean?
Definitely be able to hold somebody up. For sure.
Yeah. I'm very happy they stay in that 2 foot range.
Yeah.
And that makes them pretty much a non-entity. But mm-hmm. if they get up 3-4 foot,
yeah.
I'm sorry, tag, I'm out. Yep. I'm not going in the water because they'll eat anything.
Yep. Yeah.
But they don't get that big, so it's all good.
Yeah. Now, Stump Pass will probably be a place that will bring in something different, too.
I would say Stump Pass is that probably produce more winning catfish than any other place.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah. That's
and also a very good spot for the snook to hang out. So,
oh yeah,
again,
big snook.
Again,
yeah.
that
big
togetherness.
Fish, yeah.
yeah, yeah. This time of year too.
Yeah.
So yeah, Stump Pass gonna be another one. So we've got you're in the canals on one side of the harbor, the
yep.
Port Charlotte canals.
Yep.
Mike's calling the canals on PGI.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see who does better there.
Right. Right.
What other fish we've been talking about? Anything going on out there?
Yeah, the cobia has kind of slacked off.
Yeah,
and
now
I think the temperature
it would just be considered
enough.
A good year,
yeah,
not a oh my God, excellent, unbelievable,
right.
but just down to normal good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah,
it's amazing because it's still a great year on cobia. I mean,
yeah.
right now it's still very good,
yeah.
but because it was so spectacular a month ago.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now everybody's kind of,
where
are they at?
Yeah.
Because you could just pretty much go out and pick one.
Pretty much they were seeing them every time they walked across the bridge over
yeah.
in the Punta Gorda.
All you had to do is be lucky.
Yeah.
Right. A little bit lucky and boom, you had your cobia.
You know, in the past, people always had gotten them free-lined, the majority of people anyway, free-lined or on a bobber with a live bait, you know, or something like that. This year, I heard more people catching them on the bottom on a Carolina-type rig than I think
yeah.
I ever
sinkers,
heard.
So. Sinkers ruled the world on cobia
yeah.
this year.
Sure did.
Really weird.
Yeah.
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 So, anyway, we did best shark. Stingray and catfish.
I'm wondering if anybody's going to hook up with the tagged great white, if anybody has any chance to go out to the Gulf this year.
Oh, there'll be people in the Gulf for sure.
Yeah.
You know, this is one of those weird tournaments because you don't, it's hard to say because it's the last one if a lot of people are going to get in
yeah.
right.
or if people are just going to say, okay, well, it's the last one. And,
right. I don't know. I tend to think that more people will be in it than we've had. I think that's still the determining factor as all the years passed. Everybody's looking at their radar right now.
Well, yeah. I can tell you, they're going to be looking at the radar, yeah. but you know somewhere it's going to be bad.
Yeah. yeah. Well, I mean, it's just going to come down to, you know, the people are going to be like, okay, let's go get in the tournament, you know. And
right.
it's always like the last couple days right before the tournament.
Well, Friday's been a determining factor. Yeah. Believe it or not, if we have less than 75 people on Friday, we're going to have less than 300.
Right, right.
If we have over 75 people on Friday, we're going to have probably 400 plus.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
But if we have 100 people on Friday, you're talking about 500 plus people.
Sure, sure.
So, Friday's always a determining right. day.
So we'll see what happens tomorrow.
I think because the weather forecast is better that close.
Right. That's right.
So I think
you've got
right.
the day before. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it's just that
if they're calling for really bad weather, we'll get 35, 36 people, 30 to 50 people signed up on Friday.
And then the diehards will come in on Saturday and sign out.
One thing, I mean, 90% of everybody signs up Saturday.
Yeah.
And then comes 3:30 for the sign outs and then goes fishing and stuff. But keep in mind, I had a call from a good friend of mine who's fished this tournament. Actually, was brought in one of the biggest fish ever in this tournament. He's like, "Well, I'm just going to run the boat." Well, no, you can't just run the boat. You have to be in the tournament.
Got to be in the tournament
because there is no way you're going to be sitting there and they get a big shark on and you're not going to help them bring it in.
Well, technically, if you're operating the boat, wouldn't that be helping?
It's help. Yeah, but I mean, realistically, if they get a big shark, you're going to help them land it. You're going
to
be helping
to do
them,
something.
And you cannot get help from somebody outside the tournament in this thing.
Right.
We had a guy bring a big bull shark up on a pier, but he had so many people helping him that there was just no way we could do it.
Sure.
You know.
And then, of course, don't come in. You know, if you got like six people that are going out, and say you all get together or whatever, and you're coming back. Don't throw everybody's shark in the boat to come to the parking lot. You know, you want to get your prospective shark and take it with you.
Two sharks on a boat.
Otherwise, the whole boat's going to get disqualified, and the two people that could have done it are going to be out also. So,
if you have six people in a boat, you get six stingrays, six catfish, and two sharks.
Two sharks. Yeah.
And if the Marine Patrol's standing there, I mean, forget being in or out of the tournament.
Right.
The Marine Patrol can sit there and just write your tickets.
Yep.
I mean,
sure enough.
And quite often, the Marine Patrol is here.
They're just as interested as everybody else to see what's going on.
Yeah, and the Marine Patrol shows up, and they want to make sure that you know everything's legal. So watch your species, and remember, bull sharks have one large dorsal fin, and their cuttle fin, or the one right by the tail, is much smaller.
Right.
Lemon sharks,
almost the
dorsal
same.
And the one above the tail, almost identical in size. Very easy to tell the two.
Plus, it does have a little bit of a yellowish kind of a thing to the skin.
Yeah, maybe.
Where the nurse shark has that brownish kind of tint to it, the lemon shark has kind of a little bit of a lighter appearance. But
I've seen both sharks get real light. You need to really watch those fins.
Yeah,
because
the fin is a definite one.
People go by color, and that's when things go bad.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, Mike, you been out fishing lately?
No.
Yeah, you sound like me. Well, you and Claudine went out a while back.
Yeah, we did. We caught a few small reds, and that was primarily the whole trip. Got a couple. Now, what I did was I was going to say earlier, we're getting some pretty good reports on mangrove snappers here lately at the different piers and the local piers. Nice ones to size, and that's the only thing we brought back.
Oh, cool.
When we went fishing, was a couple about 12-inch mangrove snappers that were, a nice little fight.
But still, mangrove snappers, excellent eating.
I loved snappers are good. Very good.
They were gone that night. Plus, I got a big, Claudine got a big sugar trout, not a sugar trout, but the other silver trout. And it was big enough. We cleaned it, and it was
good
eating.
People underrate the silver trout because they don't get the publicity or the press of the spotted trout.
I like them better than the spotted trout, actually.
Yeah, spotted trout's not one of my favorites. It is a very, very popular eating fish, but I think it falls under, do you like vanilla or strawberry or banana or whatever, you know? And the particular flavor of the sea trout, the spotted one, I, like you, prefer the silver trout way better.
Yeah. I think the spotted trout is mushier. I don't know. It seems like a softer meat to me.
I think so, too.
Yeah, I'm not sure what it is. I just know I'm not a big sea trout person. Yeah. I don't keep sea trout to eat. Yeah. I like sand bream.
Oh, yeah, very good. I think it all comes down to the texture of the meat for me. And, I mean, you know, snook has it, redfish has got it, the swordfish has got it.
Now, my dad has got, you know, he's trout crazy. He loves, he loves eating sea trout. Yeah, that, right. And we've got a lot of other people. I mean, it's one of the most popular ones out there, but it's weird because if you say, well, you're not crazy about something, people think there's something wrong with it. But it's flavor.
Yeah, it's all flavor. You know, you like chocolate or vanilla shakes, you know, I mean.
It's which one do you like? Yeah, that's all.
Those sea trout or the silver trout were on down on the south end of Alligator Reef or the reef out there.
Yeah.
So, you know, there was quite a few of them down there at the time. That plus the little bitty lane snappers that would go real nice in the aquarium.
Oh, little lane snappers. Yeah. No,
that's
kidding.
Cool. Up at the Alligator Reef?
Yeah.
That's good. I've usually red grouper them. I catch.
Yeah, gag grouper, goliath grouper. I don't catch many reds, but, you know, lane snapper over the last few years have come into the harbor more and more.
Juvenile reds.
Oh, juvenile
red groupers, little small ones. Not.
We didn't get any of those.
Yeah, I haven't really seen too many of those over the years. Mostly what I've seen is gags and goliath.
Right, right.
I don't know if reds grow up here. I don't think they do like that.
I don't know. I think it just depends on the year and how much water flow.
The tide, the salt. Yeah. They might move in just someplace new to hang out. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So,
or the bait was there. They follow that food kitchen, you know.
Yeah, if you get a lot of small fish moving up, those are the little grouper will follow them.
We did
see
a lot of little fish, too. A lot of small fry around the boat ramp, all the way over to Rock Creek and around that. So I'm kind of encouraging about that anyway.
I wonder what all that fry is, because you see a lot of those little tiny fry, but they could be anything from minnows that never get any bigger.
Could be snook.
Snook, tarpon. Yeah.
Could be ladyfish.
Ladyfish. It could be almost anything. It's amazing when you get those little fish. They're so hard to identify.
Yeah, and without actually getting them out of the water and being able to look at them.
Right.
You know,
and even then, they change so much as they get older that it's like, we get the kids that come in here.
Oh, yeah, right.
And I knew them when they were, you know, 8, 9, 10, and 12 years old. And then they
walk in with a beard.
Yeah, they go away. They, you know, even when they're getting out of high school at 17, then they go away to college and everything. 5 years later, 8 years later, they come back and they go, hi, remember me? And I'm looking at them going, oh, maybe.
You changed. Yep.
It's really hard because as every species progresses, the looks change as they get older. Now, snook and tarpon kind of have a
snook and tarpon look. And the tarpon look like they do pretty much just above that larval stage.
Yeah,
they start looking like it when they lose the eggs.
Once they get up about 6 inches long, then they kind of same with snook. They're pretty much the same from 6 inches throughout. But redfish get a little weird.
Redfish are different.
Yeah. They look more like croakers when they're young.
Yep, and of course they are in that family. I think, aren't the croakers in the drum family? I mean,
croakers and drum probably same family.
Spotted trout are in the drum family too, which is kind of a
that's weird.
Yeah,
it doesn't make any sense at all. Why I'm not a marine biologist, because I'd be looking at him going, that is a trout. It looks not, why, you know, it's got teeth, it doesn't have crushers. You know,
I mean, for that matter, the jack I guess should be in the croaker family too, because, you know,
because
they do a lot of grunting.
I don't get where sea trout makes no noise.
I can't say for sure whether I've ever heard one do any noise or not, but I'd like to say no.
I don't remember ever having a sea trout talk.
I don't believe so.
I mean, redfish will occasionally, black drum do all the time, croakers, you know.
The grunts, the bait fish.
I mean, there's tons of fish that actually, you know, you bring them up and they're catfish will make a big noise.
Yep, right. Big yellowtail jacks.
Yeah, you get the catfish and jacks, they're all big noise makers.
Yep.
But anyway, let's see, is there anything we should go over yet?
No, I think we're pretty well good. I think we got the locations of the picks for our hot picks for the shark and the stingray and the catfish.
I guess I could ask, what do you guys think the hot bait's going to be? The best bait? Okay, they're thinking.
I think mullet's going to be a good one. All-round bait for catfish, stingray, or shark.
Mike, your pick, best bait? Could be the same or different.
Yeah, I think I would go along with mullet too, because it's, you know, it's like shrimp. It's one of the basic part of the food chain out there. So.
Yeah, and we have a lot of them in our harbor. Yeah, so I think they'll be really keyed into eating that type of bait.
And I'm gonna say, whatever you do, I would take some either bonita, mullet, ladyfish. Take a little bit, you know, a little bit of each, frozen, and then try and catch some catch fresh bait while you're out there. Yes, jacks, ladyfish, yeah. You know, mullet. Yeah. Try and get your fresh bait.
Yeah, because nothing works better than something cut up fresh from where you're fishing at.
Exactly. I want, to have the frozen so I have something to fish with.
Yes. Right. I want to start it with something.
I want to get started, but yeah. Then I'm going to definitely go out and try and catch unfrozen bait. You know, catching it the day before, throwing it in the freezer doesn't do you any good. Yeah. It's got to be, fresh because I think it's when the blood freezes and the meat freezes, it actually changes the consistency a little bit.
Does something to it.
Yeah, because it's always better with fresh, but there is no way I'm going out without having some frozen with me.
Yeah.
Right. I want a couple bags of chum. I want some frozen bait, bonita mullet, ladyfish, something, and a couple of bags of chum. Now, when I get out there, if I get fresh bait, I'm going to chop up some for bait, and then I'm going to cut off my chunks of bait with the fresh stuff, but I'm going to try and save a little bit and put a cutting board on the side of the boat and make little tiny dicing slices in it and try and scrape whatever scales, guts, any little thing into the water.
Right.
You remember, dogs can follow you around where your skin cells fall off of you. As you're walking down, through the store or down the street, your skin cells are falling off, and dogs can smell those little tiny cells as you walk along, and fish have that kind of ability.
Yeah,
so... I make it a point of making sure that whenever I'm cutting up the bait, I want to do it on a cutting board on the side of the boat, and I'm scraping those scales in the water. People forget, that's a lot of smell.
A lot of scent.
You know, we don't smell it much. It doesn't do anything for us, but they're not us. They have an unbelievably keen sense of smell.
Sure. And depending on how deep a water you're in fishing, when those scales are flicking down through the water column,
they're attracting stuff too. Bright moonlit night.
Yeah. Definitely going to be bright.
Which means the fishing should be very good. It's either going to make it really good or really bad.
I think it's probably going to be good. Especially if you're out in the evening time fishing, because I think a lot of those fish are feeding.
You're in that clear water with the bright moonlight. Mm-hmm. As long as there's no phosphorus in it, get the glow in the water.
I haven't heard about that this year yet.
I haven't had any fire in the water reports, but that was cool. Back when I used to do charters, I would actually take people out
nighttime
to show them
just
to show them the fire in the water. Yeah. And if you've never seen a 10-foot cast net go off when it hits the water and it's all lit up, it's blinding.
Yeah, it is.
It's amazing when all that happens. But anyway, that's for another show.
And since it is going to be a full moon night, maybe putting your bait more towards the top of the water might be a better tactic.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure how that's going
to
go.
Well, if you have a bright, like when we used to fish up north at night, if we fished a moonlit night, we always used a black lure top water.
Right.
Right up there.
Well, when you're
laying
underwater, looking up, the surface of the water is a bright silver at night. Sure. So black is the contrast.
Yeah. So, rather than a new moon night where there'd be no moon out, then we would use a white lure.
Well, I would absolutely say if I was going to go out and one line would be about 4 feet below a bobber with a glow stick in it.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. And tie it hard to the line. This is not a breakaway rig. You want that to stay as a bobber.
Yep.
Right.
And if you're fighting the fish and it breaks, it breaks. But I want that balloon to stay on there because it's a bobber. And it allows me to know where the current's going, where the bait is.
A lot of different things.
So it's really, to me, key to have at least one line on the float.
Yeah.
And I want it lit up so I know where it is. Orbs on the water.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
And it's another marker for, people can see you better. So when you've got a balloon out there and it's all glowing, it's another way to mark your position.
Yeah, definitely.
And if you're in the tournament, you see somebody anchored up, don't anchor up in their chum slick. Completely rude. Go off to the side. Yeah. Anchor up way off to the side. Get a couple hundred yards between you. Get a big fish on. You do not want to be that close to the other boat. You're going to lose your fish and his anchor or around his motor or whatever. Yeah. Keep a distance, but, everybody line up side to side.
Be respectful.
And
it's
going to increase the fishing for everybody.
Sure.
Because if you get in somebody's chum line, he's going to have to move, and you could have been a couple hundred yards to the side, and you both have chum going, and that's going to increase your chances. You get a much better, selection of fish with more than one person. Think how good it would be if everybody just lined up from the east side of the harbor, 200 yards apart all the way to the west side.
Right.
Solid thing of chum going down.
Right.
That would be spectacular. But if everybody was all sitting in a row, it wouldn't work very well.
No. Wouldn't work very well at all. So somebody'd be upset.
Yeah, well, not only that, but really not many people are going to catch fish. It's a single stream of chum. It's not broad enough, not wide enough. So... anyway, but I guess that's the tips, and we got to get back out on the floor.
Yeah. good luck to everybody out there.
Hope everybody has a good, safe night.
Yep.
We got Jeff, our fishing instructor. If you want to learn the harbor and the different fishing techniques, where to go and what to do, you can get a hold of Jeff, and he will get on your boat with you, show you where to go, what to do, and how to do it. And Captain Mike's here over in the middle chair. And still I guess we're still here.
Yeah.
So anyway, Fishing Frank here, and Captain Mike and Jeff, our fishing instructor. We will catch you on the next Radio Fishing, and thanks for listening.
Covered it pretty good.